I'm so thankful. Amen. I'm so thankful for that privilege. And I really am glad you're here today. Exodus chapter 14, we'll begin reading in verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. No, that is not the word they said to Moses. They wanted out of Egypt. They waited 400 years to be delivered from bondage. They were ready to go. They're chomping at the bit, and they left. And now they've hit a stump, amen, and I'll admit, a pretty serious one. They're saying this to the man of God, is not this what we said, let us alone? Again, no, that isn't. It's amazing how quick people change their tune when the going gets tough. And it says in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which ye will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Father, again, we come to you in the magnificent name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray and ask, Lord God, that you'd meet with us today. Pray and ask, Lord God, that your Spirit would bear witness to the Word of God, and that we might get something, Lord, make us better, make us more pleasing to you, make us more usable, Lord God. Father, there's one in here today that's not saved or not sure. I pray they wouldn't leave that way. Father, Lord God, our desire is to have you do something here, speak to our hearts as only you can, and if that would happen, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Israel is... left Egypt, they've been led out, and the Bible says they spoiled Egypt. Pharaoh's so sick of them and the things that was going on, things that the Lord wrought through Moses' hand. He just said, get out of here, take whatever you want, and they did. They took all kinds of stuff. They took stuff that they were going to need in the promised land, stuff to bring in crops and things like that. I don't know that they took very many weapons. The biggest army in the world was Egypt. And they were the ones that were letting them go, so they probably didn't take a lot of weapons right about now. They wish they would have. They're backed up to the Red Sea. Pharaoh has changed his mind, and he sent all the army of Egypt, after them. And let me say to you that that would be a formidable force at this time in history. That's the most powerful military in the world. And it says all the horses and chariots and his horsemen and army. And boy, I can just try to get a picture in my mind of what it was like for those Jews there on the shore of the Red Sea with all of Egypt bearing down on them. As this massive military force drew closer and closer, they could probably just feel the ground start to shake and hear the deafening roar as the hooves of those horses and chariots got closer and closer as those infantrymen marched in cadence, amen. I'll tell you what, it makes a sound that'll get your attention. It makes a sound as they would bang their spears on their shields as they marched in step. I'll tell you what, it's intimidating. And I'll tell you what, it says they were so afraid. And tell you what, it doesn't take much imagination to realize that no doubt they had every reason to be. I can imagine with them backed up to the Red Sea and the sun coming up behind them and Egypt's army bearing down on them, seeing that sun reflecting off the spearheads. Amen. Off the trappings of the chariots. Amen. I wonder what it was like as this army got closer and closer to maybe they could even eventually hear the voices of commanders giving orders, watching this military movement of the flanking as they were surrounded. Amen. And they were scared for their life, and they should have been. Best case scenario is they watched this unfold. Of course, they did what they could have been Baptists. The first thing they did was start railing on their pastor, amen, and blaming him, amen. But in reality, as they stood there and they'd been delivered from Egypt, they were slaves in Egypt. Isn't it interesting that they said, didn't we say to you we'd rather stay here? No, they didn't. And who in their right mind would prefer bondage, amen. They've been in bondage for generations. Their fathers, their wives, their daughters, their mothers have been murdered and worked to death. And I tell you what, I'd rather go down fighting than go back to something like that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? And so they had to wonder if they were going to be recaptured and re-enslaved. And that'd be best case scenario to some, because the reality of the matter is Pharaoh had lost his son. He wasn't too happy. And chances are he was just going to have them all slaughtered. They had nowhere to run. They couldn't save themselves. They were scared to death, and they looked to their commander, and he said this to them, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And I'll tell you what, I bet that went over like a ton of bricks. Amen? Now, you know your Bible a little bit. I hope you do. You know that the Lord wrought a great deliverance for Israel. Part of the Red Sea, they crossed on dry land. And again, I believe it happened just like the Bible says. Amen. I'll tell you what, you get in trouble trying to explain what the Bible means when you might grow spiritually if you just start believing what it said. Amen and amen. And it wasn't just a great deliverance for Israel. They didn't cross over, and then God closed the way between them. He let Egypt get in the middle of that thing, and he brought the walls of water down on them. And it was not just a great deliverance; it was a great defeat. They didn't have to worry about this army finding the long way around or building a bridge. They were gone. They were done. They were dead. And just like Moses said, the Lord fought that battle for them. Salvation, he said, you'll see him no more again, forever, any minute. And it just occurs to me, things like this, not unlike other battles that the Lord fought for them, not unlike David whipping Goliath, this was a great salvation. Would you agree with me on that? Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says this, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And I want to say to you this morning that the plight of an unrepentant sinner is far more hopeless than these Jews backed up to the Red Sea facing the brutal end of their mortal lives. And I want to say this too, what Christ did on the cross of Calvary was far greater than God parting the Red Sea and delivering Israel. And here's how I can prove it. Those Jews that made it through the Red Sea, they eventually died in the wilderness. But I'll tell you what, those of us that Christ rescued will never die. Never die. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm glad today that I've got everlasting life. I'm glad today that I got in on the great salvation of the Lord. I hope you have. I want to speak to you today for a little while on this great salvation. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, let's look together in verse 12. And let me say the first thing that's great about it. Now we're going to talk about a great salvation, and first thing that's great is this right here. There's a great requirement. There's a great requirement. The salvation had to be great because of this requirement right here. Verse 12, the Bible says this, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed, upon all men, for that all have sinned. Could I say to you today that sin has a great requirement, and that requirement is death. We had to have a great salvation because the requirement of sin is everlasting death. That death comes in two forms. There's a physical death. Of course, you know about that. I was out in California preaching, a mutual friend of your pastor and I, and during the course of the time we were there, plugged into his church, preaching a meeting for him and in the area, he had two faithful church members go and be at the Lord. Now, they both had been sick for a long time. They both, we knew personally for many years. They were precious saints. Amen. They died valiantly. They were ready to go and all that. But I'll never forget at the memorial service one night, the preacher said this. He said, you know what's going on here is pretty rough. We missed this sister and this brother, but the truth of the matter is, everybody in here is in line. And that's how I put it, and that's how it is, and that's true. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and death is passed upon all men for all have sinned. And the truth of the matter is, every one of us in here has got an appointment with death. And the Bible said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die. One could die. Truth of the matter is, everybody in here has got two appointments, and one's with death, and the other one is with the judgment. And it's crying shame today that in our land that more people are worried about the physical death than they are the judgment of God, which occurs after. And that's like when I go home, you know, usually I'll be on the road for months and I have to make a dentist appointment, go in there and get my teeth cleaned and things like that. And I don't like going to dentist too much, but it isn't the receptionist I'm afraid of. And that's the way we are. People are spending their whole life concerned and making all kinds of exceptions and things for the flesh and doing things for their health and all that. But hey, listen, death's coming, you're all in line. And we spend more time preparing for that and worrying about that and give very little consideration to the judgment that follows. That really doesn't make much sense. That's much more serious. What happens at the judgment that follows is going to determine where you spend eternity. Amen. Really, what happens before you die is what determines where you spend eternity, determines which judgment you go to. The Bible says that sin has a great requirement, and it's physical death, and we know that, and it's spiritual death too. And that spiritual death is infinite. Amen. That spiritual death lasts forever. And he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And listen, I'm no theologian, but I can answer that. You won't. No one will. And that spiritual death is an endless eternity in a lake of fire. And the salvation of the Lord has to be great because the requirement of sin is great. And I'm happy to report as well, and Brother Daniel quoted this verse last night, and it's one of my favorite verses, amen, in this chapter as well. Go to verse 20. And the Bible says this, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And just to be honest with you, I can vividly remember the day the law entered, amen. And they entered with battering ram and M16s and body armor and helmets and things like that and smashed the door down and came in. And before the day was over, the offense abounded. Amen. But I'm glad that the verse doesn't stop there. And it goes on to say, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Could I say to you today that the salvation of the Lord is great, and it had to be because of the great requirement, eternal death. But I'm happy to report today that the remedy is greater than the requirement. Amen. It says this, Romans chapter 5, go back to verse 8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Boy, I'll tell you what a miracle it is. What a marvel it is today. What a great thing it is to know that the great remedy for sin, the great remedy that takes care of that eternal requirement is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There's a hymn, and I ought to get the name of it, and I haven't heard it for a long time, but one of the verses, one of the stanzas went like this, they searched through heaven and found a Savior. That's not accurate. If there was a search in heaven to find a Savior, God didn't find one. He came Himself, beloved. He came Himself. You can't get a greater remedy than that. And He came down here, and for His effort, living a sinless life, preaching deliverance from an eternal hell, for His effort, He was betrayed by His friend. He was arrested. He was lied against in a mock trial. He was lied against. The Bible says they couldn't get the witnesses to agree. I was told a story one time about four boys. They were on their way. This is good because we had a graduation here yesterday. They were on their way to school. They were seniors, and they had a math exam, and it was a real important exam, and they dreaded it. All four of them dreaded it, and they had to take it. It was for their final grade, and so they concocted a story, and they said, listen, man, we're all going to fail. If we go there, we got to figure out something, and they figured it out. They put their heads together. They said, we'll go in just as the class is ending, and we'll tell the teacher we're sorry we're late, but we're late because we had a flat tire. And so that's what they said, and they got to class 5 minutes ago. She's taking up the pencil. She's collecting, and here these boys come, and they haven't taken the test. There's no time to make it up. And the teacher says, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you a makeup exam, and there'll be one question, and on this question will determine your grade for the year. And they were glad. They were happy. They knew their chances of getting one question right was better than the odds they'd had before. And so she put each one of them in each corner of the room, and she said, okay, one question, get your pen, write it down, which tire went flat? Yeah. Amen. You heard that before. And they couldn't agree. Not using that one anymore. Did Gip say that when he was here? Amen. Amen. And that's what happened to the Lord, see? It wasn't hard for them to get people that were willing to lie against them, but they couldn't agree. They couldn't get their story straight. Why? He was sinless. There was nothing they could bring against him that was true, but they tried. They tried. And in his judgment, he was found innocent several times in 24 hours. I wonder why the ACLU wasn't interested in his rights. Amen? He was beaten. He was beaten by his own people before he's ever turned over to Pilate. He was mocked, amen, and then he was turned over to Pilate, and Pilate said, I find no fault in this man, and turned him over to be scourged. And he was scourged by a whole band, it says, of Roman soldiers, and these were the toughest soldiers of their day, amen. And boy, they knew their business, and they did their job, and the Bible says his visage was marred more than the sons of men. His whiskers were plucked out of his face, amen. He was beaten beyond recognition. And then he was turned over to be crucified. Amen. He was humiliated and mocked again and nailed to a cross. And they said to him, oh, come down if you can. If you're the Son of God, why don't you come on down? He saved others. Look at him now. Look at him now. And the Lord of glory hung on that tree. And you know what he said? He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Boy, that was the truth. Amen. I mean, why couldn't the Lord have just come down and started over? And he could have. Why did it take Calvary to make a way for our sins to be forgiven? I'll tell you why. Because the requirement was so great. I'm glad today that where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. I'm glad today that as great as the requirement was, the remedy was greater. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Why would anybody reject, neglect, not accept, not embrace, not yield to such a great salvation? Amen. It was a great salvation. Amen. I'll tell you what else about it. It made it great. It comes with a great a great relief. When I heard the gospel preached the first time in my adult life, for sure, in the little church I went to as a kid, I don't remember ever any emphasis being put on the gospel. I heard a lot of Bible stories. I never knew that you needed a personal relationship. I didn't know you needed to be saved. I did not realize, nobody ever told me, that you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that you have to comprehend that you are a sinner worthy of hell. I was just like so many in church this morning. They're in church, they're born into Christian families, they go to church all their life, and they think because they never did this, and this, they're all right. You're not all right until you got in on this great salvation. That book says all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. And I'm going to tell you what, that's exactly what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get it out of here and get it into here. But I'll tell you what, if you do, there'll be a great relief. That preacher came in, and I'd been locked up before. I'd been in jail. I knew chaplains before. They all came in and tried to make you feel good. They'd slide a paperback NIV across the floor and say, Jesus loves you and everything's going to be all right. Boy, that ain't the preacher I got this time. I got a man of God that came in and said, Jesus loved you enough, and he told me, just like I just told you, what Christ did on the cross. But he said this, he said, you die in your sin, you neglect this great salvation, it's not going to be all right. He preached right out of Luke 16, he preached on a lake of fire. He reminded me of what my grandma told me as a kid, hell's real! Amen. I just want to tell you, I didn't like that message one bit. I didn't like that preacher. I didn't like anything about that church service. I was already going to spend the rest of my life in federal prison. And now this preacher comes and says, you're going to burn in hell. I thought, well, thanks. Thanks for cheering me up. Amen. And like so many, when I heard the truth and it gave an opportunity to get saved, and I didn't get saved, but I had a lot of time on my hands. Amen. He gave me a Bible, gave me a Million Disappear booklet with a picture of them burning in hell. That was such a blessing to me. He gave me a Bad Bob track where the jail burnt down. I mean, everything that came into my consciousness for 3 weeks after that message had something to do with fire. And one day the reality struck me that I'm going to burn forever because of my sin. And boy, that day I got down and I asked Christ to save me. Amen. When that preacher taught me the penalty of my sin, which was hell, and what Christ went through to pay for it, and that was the cross, here's what crossed my mind. That might be good for somebody else, but there's no way I could ever be worthy of that. And that was the truth. What a relief it was to find out that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What a blessing it is to report this morning that Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's great because it took care of the great requirement. It's great because Jesus Christ Himself, the Lord of glory, the God of gods, the King of kings, was the remedy Himself. It's a great relief because I'm a long way from perfect, but there's one thing I don't worry about anymore. Amen. What a relief it is to not have to worry about where my soul is going to spend eternity on the authority of the Word of God. Amen. And last of all, it says this in 2 Corinthians 6. Go ahead and turn there. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 6. And look with me, if you will, in verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. And the Bible says this. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And along with the great requirement and the great remedy and the great relief, I'd be negligent as an evangelist, as a preacher of the gospel, this morning if I didn't say something about the great rush involved with getting this thing taken care of. and there is a definite sense of urgency. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Proverbs 27 in verse 1 says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And there's a boatload of Bible right there, because you and I can have our plans, and we do. But truth of the matter is, the Lord can step in and change our plans anytime He wants. Truth of the matter is, like I said, every one of us has got an appointment with death and with judgment. Now, some of us are famous for being late for appointments, but I'm going to tell you what, everybody in here has got an appointment they won't be late for. And the problem with that appointment is this right here. We don't know when it is. And none of us knows when it is, and it could be today. And you better be ready. Paul said, for I am now ready, and the time of my departure is at hand. And the only way you can be ready is to know Christ as your Savior. And being religious, and being baptized, and joining a church, and growing up in a Christian home, and never killing anybody, or dealing drugs, or going to prison. That's not ready! Your sins better be under the blood of Christ that we sing about. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then for hard heads like us, he says, no man. But what about no man? But the people that the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Man, that's easy to answer. You won't. Don't. You know, we can give an invitation, and I've given invitations like this, and I've heard, you know, you're going to do one of two things when you have an opportunity to get saved. You're going to accept or reject. And maybe, I guess, if you get right down to brass tacks, that's the way it goes. But I'm going to tell you what, I've seen people hear the gospel and say, well, yeah, I admit I'm a sinner. Yeah, I've done things wrong. I've never done this, or this, but the Bible says lying is a sin. I've lied, and I've seen people that honest with themselves, and then say, well, the Bible says hell's real, and I've heard that before, and I heard that as a kid, and a lot of people must believe that, and boy, the preacher just showed me and read it to me out of the Bible, and the Bible says hell's real, and boy, I know that. If sin will put you in hell, that's probably where I'd go. Well, I wouldn't want to go there. But then we'll give an opportunity to open the Bible and show you what the Bible says about how you can 100% guaranteed trust in what the Lord said, and get your name off the roster of folks heading there right now, and get your name in the book of life. And they'll say, well, I need to think about it. And know what that is? That's neglecting to act on a truth that the Spirit of God has just revealed to you. And God's merciful, and God's interested in you being saved, and a lot of us may have a testimony hearing the truth and later on got saved. But I just want to remind you, you don't have any guarantee you'll get another chance. And if I'd have died in a riot, man, when I was in jail, I started fights every day just for something to do. I didn't want television. Nobody would accept my collect calls. Amen. And if I'd have died in a prison riot the day after I heard the gospel, amen, I'd have died and went right to hell. Amen. I tell you what, I believe this. I believe that day I heard the truth was my last chance. Amen. I'd heard the truth as a kid, and I had a praying mama, I know she prayed like some of you pray. God, whatever it takes. I tell you what, before you pray that prayer, you better be prepared for the consequence of that right there. You pray, God, do whatever it takes to get little Johnny or little Susie's attention. It might take you with a nervous breakdown. You ever think of that? It might take you in a coffin to get little Johnny and Susie's attention. It might take you with a terminal disease. I had a mama that prayed after 20 years on the street and burying 41 of my own guys. I had a mama that says, God, whatever it takes. And boy, I tell you what, one day I got busted with so many charges, I would have never seen daylight again. And God honored her prayer. And you know what her prayer was? Give David one more chance. That's all God was obligated to do. But He gave me one more chance. And man, I'm glad I finally got it. And I don't know how many chances you've had, and I don't know how many chances you're going to get, but I know this. There's people that leave churches and churches that have people from one end to the other willing and able to open a Bible and show them how to be saved, and they'll think about it. You know, they got their plans, they got their ideas. But yeah, I'm going to put that on the list of things that I need to take care of. And I hope you get a chance to take care of it. But if you're in here today and you're not saved, wouldn't it be good to take care of it today? And you really can. And for those of you that are, and I know most of you are saved, and I've just tried to remind you, just, you know, as inadequately as I'm able, I tried to remind you of how great your salvation is and why it's so great. It's not great today because you cleaned up your act or come to church or because you didn't kill anybody. That's not what makes being a Christian. That's not what makes your salvation great. It's because of Him. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody in here, you can be saved 30 years, and some of you are. Every one of you see people, know people, pass people every day, that if they died today, they'd go right to hell. And our salvation needs to get made a little more real to us once in a while. And here's how you do it. That book says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And the only way you got a clue what's holy and acceptable to God is right out of that book. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, if we could do that, if we would do that, there's people out there that are headed to hell right now that won't end up there. And the proof of that is you. Because one day you were out there. And one day I was out there. And somebody made the salvation of the Lord. Somebody took this thing serious. Amen. Christians, boy, we got in on the greatest thing there is. And God forbid we ever just take it for granted or let it drop a notch or two from the list of the most important things that ever happened. And if you're in here and you're not saved, today could be your day. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I hope you get in on this today. Let's pray. Father, I love you today, and thank you for the liberty that you've given, not just this hour, but all week. Pray and ask, Lord, you take this simple reminder, Father, to encourage Christians. Pray, Lord, if there's someone in here today that's not saved or not sure, I pray that today they leave here according to the Word of God, positive. Their name's in the Book of Life. Father, help us not to trust things that the world says we should trust, but to trust Thee. And Father, we'll thank You for anything that gets done. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?
Let's just remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a couple of seconds here. A couple of seconds is not accurate. A couple of minutes. I'm going to ask you, now, you've had a really clear presentation here, folks. I don't know if there's anybody here lost or not. There are a few visitors here, and I haven't gone down any kind of roster of who's here or not. Are you sure you're saved? Because if you're not, you need to come. Listen, folks, we all play for our entire lives on the tightrope right above eternity. Even your kids, folks, you know, little 3- and 4-year-old kids, there's plenty of things in your house that could be the death of those children. Crawl up on the wrong thing and fall off the arm of a chair and die if you're not careful. And we all get old enough to drive around in 3,000-pound automobiles, fly around in planes, and place ourselves every day in a certain degree of danger. We play. We live our entire lives over a tightrope over eternity. It was a few years ago that we buried like 3 guys. I mean, I wasn't much older than them at that time. We buried 3 guys that were still in their 30s in 1 year and basically dropped dead on the spot. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. If you've never trusted Christ, why don't you come? Why don't you stand up right now and just come? This is not about a public humiliation. Because what we're going to ask you to do is come so that somebody can take you aside privately in a private room somewhere and show you out of the Bible how to be saved. Why don't you do that? Would you come? Stand. We're going to sing 125, Jesus Paid It All. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning. You need to come. You need to do something. You need to make a decision. 125. Everybody could be here this morning. I encourage you to come back if you're a visitor. Brother Spurgeon will be preaching again, and I'll promise you there's some music tonight that's worth hearing. I'm not promising you a rock concert now, but I'll promise you there's going to be some music tonight worth hearing. So I hope that you'll come back. We'll be here at 6 tonight. Again, it'll be the final meeting. We really look forward to it. We're going to have a word of prayer and be dismissed. All right, Father. It's our privilege to have been here today. Some of us were here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yesterday, and today. And it was our privilege, Lord. We're looking forward. It's times like this, Father, that we actually look forward to being together throughout all eternity. Nobody will have any faults, and there won't be any gripes or murmuring or sickness or anything. We'll be in a place that we'll enjoy and a fellowship that we'll enjoy forever. And Father, we hope that day might be soon. And we hope that somebody that's sitting in here this morning that's not gotten that thing settled would see the clarity of it. For Brother Spurgeon, it was fire for 3 weeks. Maybe you'll use something else in somebody else's life for 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months. But I hope that something might get a hold of their heart to help them to see how badly they need Jesus Christ. And that they are literally walking a tightrope every day over eternity. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Pray you bless the afternoon. Grant safety and help and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, no problem.
No problem.